Welcome very much to the second episode of the Aalto Helsinki podcast. Today I will be your host. I am Lilith. I'm also part of the Aalto Helsinki team and part of the wet lab and writing team. My interviewees today are also part of the Aalto Helsinki team. They are Hannah and Sophia. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Sophia and I was the host of the first podcast, so you already know something about me. But to recap, I'm working in the wet lab and also leading collaborations.
Hi, I'm Hannah. I'm part of the dry lab team, so I'm mostly doing like modeling and also like I'm head of the programming, so I'm behind the wiki and the website that we have. And apart from that, I'm studying life science informatics, or especially bioinformatics and systems medicine at the University of Helsinki.
Thank you so much. And I think we could like talk about the project now, since it's been leaked upon the social media. And we should talk about it in the podcast as well. So I wanted just to ask, how did you like come up with your ideas? How did you brainstorm? How did like this entire process actually go?
Yeah, as you mentioned, like we met the first time in March, I think. And then we immediately started brainstorming what topics might be interesting. And we started really broad. And then we had several topics we were really interested in. We had like tumor markers, detection of neurodegenerative diseases, as well as like using microbes to generate energy. And then we also had the topic of antibiotic resistance. And those were all very interesting, but then we looked further into the antibiotic resistance and how it like bacteria have resistance or a certain tolerance to antibiotics. And this somehow fascinated us the most. And then we just like went deeper into like the rabbit hole of researching biofilms which are connected to this resistance and are like found in wounds.
Okay, so you just mentioned biofilms. What exactly are those? Like, what are biofilms and what is like the main relevance of those? Are they very relevant?
Yeah, they are very relevant in the wound healing setting, which I'll come on to in a second, but biofilm basically is a layer of diverse bacterial populations that kind of gather together and build up into this film layer. And these bacteria in a polysaccharide matrix, which is mechanically tough and difficult to penetrate. So this is why they're tolerant to antibiotics. Well, biofilm can be made up of gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria, each of which have different signaling mechanisms. We'll talk about that later, I think. But biofilm is very commonly found to build up on chronic wounds. Well, on just wounds in general, and it chronifies them partially because chronic wounds are hypoxic and they have decreased angiogenesis, which means that less blood vessels are forming there. Thus, immune cells can't really gather at the site and clear out the infection as effectively. So biofilm just keeps on building up there, and it's a significant problem for clinicians.
Okay, just wanted to clarify some terms that you just mentioned. Could you maybe just explain what exactly like a polysaccharide matrix is and what you meant with hypoxic? Just some terms that could be better explained.
Okay, well, poly means many and saccharide means sugar. So it's basically this structure made up of many sugar molecules. Sometimes you can have protein and other molecules attached there as well. But yeah, it's this mesh-like, I guess you could say, structure into which the bacteria embedded. And hypoxic means, well, hypo means low, and then oxic is oxygen, so it's a low oxygen environment.
Okay, that makes so much sense. Thank you very much for explaining this. And now coming back to your original question, you also mentioned chronic wounds. So why is it so important to like focus on them?
Yeah, so chronic wounds are basically, as Sophia mentioned, they don't really heal, so it takes them sometimes up to months to properly close. And in like hospital settings in Europe, actually up to 50% of the hospital beds are actually occupied by wound patients, and there is a high cost in the public health that is spent on fixing wounds or treating wounds, maybe that's a better word for that instead of fixing. And yeah, so it takes a lot of time because you need a correct diagnosis, and then you have to combine several different therapies to actually find something that is working. And besides that, patients also need to take care of their wounds at home, so that often declines in the quality of the caretaking. So first of all, there's a big cost, and secondly, the quality of the patient's life decline a lot with these chronic wounds. And because our population is getting more older and has a higher prevalence for diabetes or obesity, and then diabetes, there is a higher risk for wounds that stay longer.
Yeah, this is also because both of those populations experience pressure ulcers due to sitting down a lot, or the diabetes itself is prone to wounds.
Okay, and how would an iGEM project try to solve this issue of chronic wounds then?
Yeah, it's a good question. So at the beginning, we were thinking to use basically enzymes or some sort of enzymatic action to degrade the biofilm, which would then mean there's no biofilm on the wound, and the wound could be accessed by antimicrobials, to which the biofilm is usually tolerant. But this would take many steps, as we realized, and it's quite difficult to model the action of enzymes, because you would need, in the ideal case, some sort of fake skin or wound substitute tissue, as well as higher biosafety conditions, and none of these are things we have. So instead of the treatment side, we thought of prevention. What if biofilms could be stopped from forming in the first place? And as we looked more into how the bacterium biofilm communicates, we found this mechanism called quorum sensing, which is a signaling mechanism. And this maybe could be disrupted in the early stages to prevent biofilm from even forming.
That sounds pretty cool. So could you maybe explain a bit more about this process, quorum sensing, and how would you actually block it?
Yeah, so quorum sensing is basically the way bacteria communicate. So this is how they organize work or tasks that they would do in a group. And they can basically extract little peptides or molecules, which, for example, are auto-inducing peptides. And then with this, they signal to other bacteria that there is maybe still space, and like coordinate different other tasks. And this is also important for the formation of biofilm.
Yeah, and in terms of what would be disrupting the action of these small peptides, we found out about DARPins, which means designed anchor and repeat proteins. And they're very useful because they are smaller than antibiotics, so they can penetrate the polysaccharide matrix more easily, and therefore perhaps have better results, especially in prevention. And also, they have repeats of 33 amino acid regions. And since they are repeated, there are multiple sites of ligation and binding, so that can mean a strong affinity of binding to these AIP molecules.
Okay, so if you would like clarify everything, maybe could I hear like a rundown of your project and what like the main objectives and deliverables are? Just a short clarification would be nice.
Yeah, definitely. There's three main steps. The first one is to create a DARPin library. So that would involve randomizing some of the positions in these of these amino acids in the repeats to give variety. We'll go with about 40 to 50 different DARPins, so with different amino acid positions, and hopefully at least one of those binds with strong affinity to the target AIP, the peptide.
Yeah, and then the second part is basically the modeling. So what we are doing with the DARPins and the peptides is that we are modeling the protein peptide docking. So we would first use like AlphaFold, which is very known now for this task, to predict the 3D structure of the DARPin. And then we would verify how the DARPin would bind the AIP. And then additionally, because we are building some sort of DARPin library, which in our case is a bit smaller, we would, in the end, do some sequencing and analyze which DARPins had the highest affinity. Are there some motifs that are very common along those that were really popular there? And then as a third step, we are also building a biosensor. And basically what we want to show is that we can, first of all, test if the chrome sensing is active. And for this, we would build a biosensor that emits like a fluorescence signal if AIP binds to the correct receptor. So if the chrome sensing is active, you will have fluorescence signal. And then in the future, you could, with this, measure if our strategy is working, if the darkon is binding the AIP, because then you don't have a fluorescence signal anymore.
Mm. Okay. And do you think it seems feasible? Like, have you talked to some people that already say that your project is hopeful to work, or any ideas in that sense?
Well, it's always hard to say with iGEM because teams tend to be ambitious as we are, and there's even some steps that we're not going to be able to do, like testing on an actual Staphylococcus epidermidis, which is a common bacterium in human biofilms on chronic wounds. That's a bit too far removed. So many steps to go through, and we can't do all of them, but what we have there is very much feasible. The biosensor part is often at least one aspect of iGEM projects across many teams and has a history in iGEM. That means we could have help with that. In terms of protein peptide modeling, we have a collaboration with a Dresden team who are also doing modeling, so we will join forces and be able to execute that quite well. The DARPin library is more uncharted territory at the beginning because it's something that we didn't have experience with, and DARPins are quite a novel or unused molecule, but it definitely seems feasible. Our advisors are encouraging, and we are also pretty much at a point where we have randomized the positions. Then, yeah, I also wanted to say we spoke to some clinicians at the Helsinki University Hospital, so plastic surgeons, for example, wound healing nurses, and also researcher of wound healing, and all of them are very excited, actually, and very hopeful, because usually treatments are combination treatments, preventive and also therapeutics, that don't really know which one is working. You just kind of trial a bunch at the same time and hope for the best, because there's no standard for what to do with biofilm and chronic wounds. But if there is something that could be preventive and proven to work, then the clinicians are very excited about any possibility of that. So we've had a lot of positive feedback.
Thank you so much for all your great answers, and thank you for giving this small interview, and thank you also for tuning in again and listening to the Aalto Helsinki podcast. We're very excited how our project will continue and give you more updates.
Thank you.